Hi, this is Bob Decker, volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona, with this week's Listener Beware. Today I'll continue with a list of suggestions from the Reader's Digest on what to do with your old cell phone. I'll also be reading articles from the same source on why you should always update your existing iPhone and ways that you might lower your monthly bill. Use number 8. Sell your cell. If your discarded device is in good shape, and even if it's not, it may be worth some bucks. Try selling your old cell phone directly to a buyer through Craigslist or eBay to reap the most cash. Sites like SellSell and even retailers like Best Buy and Costco have buyback programs. It's an added bonus if you have the original packaging, cables, and cords. Many Americans are looking for ways to earn some extra cash, especially in a sluggish economy. So it's very surprising that consumers are literally sitting on billions of potential dollars in their unused smartphones and feature phones, often stashed away in boxes at home, Colin White, SellSells.com's managing director, told Business Insider. Before you think about selling it, consider cleaning off all the germs on your phone. Use number 9. Let music soothe the soul. Set up your old phone as an MP3 player. Then, if you're beach or poolside, there are no worries if it gets wet or sandy. Or use it as a radio. You can stream music on your old cell phone via TuneIn Radio from all across the country. Use number 10, a backup cell. We may not be super secret spies, at least we aren't, what you do is your business, but that doesn't mean that there won't be a time when you're grateful for a burner cell. Once you unlock the old phone from your plan, you can get a new SIM card and enroll in a pay-as-you-go plan, which can be as low as $2 a day of use. An old phone with a cheap day-to-day plan can be useful to take places you're worried about damaging or losing your new phone, or to give your younger children when they may need a way to contact you. Use number 11. Find your car. Keep your old smartphone on a very cheap plan hidden in the back of your vehicle. Make sure you keep it charged. Not only is it good to use your old cell phone as a backup in case of an emergency, but you can also track your vehicle if it ever gets stolen. Don't miss the cell phone accessories that will make your life seriously easier. Use number 12. Take some photos. Most smartphones and tablets work as compact cameras too. Let younger children practice taking photos on an old cell phone, then learn to edit shots by downloading an app like Snapseed. Don't forget to back up those photos to another device later. Use number 13, digital photo frame. Now that the phone has been used to take some incredible photos, use it to display them. Get a cell phone stand and display your old smartphone with your favorite photos, whether you took them or not, running through a slideshow. And finally, use number 14, time to recycle. Whatever you do, don't throw out those old cell phones in the trash. The Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, estimates that 35,000 pounds of copper, 772 pounds of silver, 75 pounds of gold, and 33 pounds of palladium can be saved from every 1 million old cell phones recycled. Instead of throwing it in the trash, do some cell phone recycling. This will help to reduce e-waste, so you have some peace of mind when upgrading your phone. From the Reader's Digest, this is why you should always update your iPhone. By Jamie Stathis, updated on April 3rd, 2023. Apple does a great job keeping iPhones secure, but you still need to keep your software up to date. When an automobile manufacturer issues a recall and offers free parts and services to fix the issue, it makes sense to go to the dealership and get it done. It's the same when Apple issues a software update. Sometimes updates are issued to keep devices running efficiently or to keep your personal information safe. But regardless of the reasons, installing the updates is always critical. You might wonder why you have to install new software on a brand new iPhone or an iPhone you just updated. It's true that iOS is notoriously secure and that iPhone security is hard to crack, but even iPhones can get viruses. Your iPhone isn't a finished product. No smartphone is. And neither are your tablets or computers, says Monica Eaton, owner and founder of Chargebacks 911. They're all a work in progress, especially the software. WebKit is Apple's latest vulnerability, and it's recommended that all iPhone users update now to stay safe. When Apple issues an update, it almost always means that attackers and hackers know the vulnerability that is being fixed as well. So that makes it even more important to install these updates, explains Alex Hammerstone, Advisory Solutions Director at TrustedSec. Users should always keep their software up to date and install any updates offered by Apple. To play it safe, be sure your iPhone is set to automatically update. Yes, there are tons of iPhone hacks to streamline your life, but the ultimate hack is to simply update your iPhone. What is iPhone's WebKit vulnerability? Apple developed the WebKit browser engine, which empowers Safari, other iOS and iPadOS web browsers, Google Chrome for iPhone, Amazon's Kindle, and certain PlayStation and Nintendo consoles, Eaton says. If you accidentally visit a website that's been compromised, cybercriminals can potentially exploit the WebKit security gap so that it runs and executes a malicious code. That can cause all kinds of serious problems for your iPhone, from privacy violations to financial fraud to ransomware. Security issues are sometimes discovered internally, but in the case of WebKit, it was Google's threat analysis group that found the flaw, not Apple. Apple acknowledged that WebKit's security gap might already have been exploited, so downloading this update is urgent because the longer you wait, the more you open yourself up to potential fraud. Apple released additional information about the WebKit vulnerability and the update resolves it. One of the reasons this vulnerability is so concerning is that it could allow a phone to be compromised simply by visiting a malicious website, Hammerstone says. The user doesn't need to click anything or download anything. More reasons to update your iPhone. Apple firmware update after a security leak. These updates may feel annoying when they seem one after another, but it's always for good reason. Maximizing efficiency and accessing new features is only half the equation, Eaton says. The other reason to always update your phone is your safety. Eaton explains that many updates are a reaction to what cybercriminals are doing. Hackers and criminals will search until they find a gap in your security, Eaton explains. Once they find a gap, news can spread very quickly within their community. Fortunately, companies like Apple have brilliant, dedicated people who are working just as hard to close these gaps once they're detected. But you need to update your iPhone ASAP to maximize your protection. Keep in mind that some updates are for new features and updated usability. But those are often issued at the same time that updates as security fixes, and as with most updates, there are things included besides the security fix, Hammerstone says. Some other usability bugs are being fixed, but from a security perspective, what is most interesting is that Apple will now support physical multi-factor authentication. Sources for this article included Monica Eaton, owner and founder of Chargebacks 911, Alex Hammerstone, Advisory Solutions Director at TrustedSec, Apple Support, updating iPhone automatically, Apple Support, about the security content of iOS 16.3.1 and iPadOS 16.3.1. And our author was Jamie Stathis, who writes about technology, cybersecurity, careers, retirement, travel, and everything related to being a human being on a constantly evolving planet. Jamie is insatiably curious and still trying to figure out if she prefers the mountains or the ocean, and realizes that this might be a lifelong puzzle to solve. From the Reader's Digest, 7 Tricks to Use Less Cellular Data and Lower Your Cell Phone Bill, by Morgan Cutulo, updated June 23, 2024. Avoid paying overage charges for your cellular data by trying these easy tricks. 1. Turn off background app refresh. When this feature is enabled, your apps are constantly refreshing so that they can show you the most recent content when open. This includes email syncing, weather widgets updating, and feeds refreshing. For the iPhone, turn off the background app refresh by going to Settings, General, Background App Refresh. For Android, go to Settings, Data Usage, Restrict App Background Data. This will allow you to turn the feature off for all apps, or you can pick and choose which ones you want to turn off. Number 2. Disable apps that use a lot of data. There are certain apps that use more data than others, whether you use them frequently or not. For ones you don't use often, turn off cellular data. For the iPhone, go to Settings, Cellular, and then under Use Cellular Data For, switch certain apps to off. 3. Turn off app updates. If your apps update automatically, your phone will start to download whether you're connected to Wi-Fi or not. To turn this off on an iPhone, go to Settings, iTunes and App Stores, turn off Use Cellular Data. For an Android, go to Settings, under General click Auto Update Apps, Auto Update Apps over Wi-Fi only. Then your apps will only update when you're connected to Wi-Fi. Number 4. Turn off the Wi-Fi Assist. Wi-Fi Assist automatically uses your cellular data when the Wi-Fi signal is poor. To disable Wi-Fi Assist for an iPhone, go to Settings, Cellular, Turn off Wi-Fi Assist. Number 5. Turn off iCloud Drive. When iCloud is enabled, it is constantly moving documents in and out of the cloud. You can use less cell phone data by turning iCloud off. To do this on the iPhone, go to Settings, iCloud, Turn off iCloud Drive. 6. Download music. When you're on the go, streaming music, podcasts, or videos can really eat away at your data. Both the iPhone and Android phones let you restrict these apps to Wi-Fi only. Turning the setting on will force you to download them when connected to a Wi-Fi network, and then allow for data free listing on the move. And finally, number 7, turn off cellular data completely. If you know that you're about to reach your data limit or are saving for the road trip you have coming up, you can simply turn off cellular data. This way, no data will be used, and certain apps will only work if you're connected to a Wi-Fi network. Our phones can be a great convenience, but they do require careful use to avoid costly experiences and fraud. In our next article from the Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, explains why you need to be especially careful when dialing collect or operator-assisted calls. FCC Consumer Guide. Careless dialing could cost you money. Be careful when placing collect or other operator-assisted calls. You or the party you're calling may end up paying more than expected due to a scheme that takes advantage of individuals who misdial phone numbers. The scheme. You place a collect call from a public phone or payphone, intending to use a particular service, but you misdial. You get connected to the party you wish to call, but the phone company that connects you is not the one you thought you were using. Instead, it is a company that secured toll-free numbers similar to well-known ones, likely hoping that you misdial your intended number. If this happens, you are probably unaware you're not using your intended phone carrier because you don't know you misdialed. Often the company won't identify itself before connecting the call. Surprise! The charge for the misdialed call is much higher than it would have been had you reached your intended carrier. Steps for avoiding the scheme. When making collect calls, dial carefully. Make sure you hit each number only once. If you're unsure, hang up and start again. Once you've made the call, listen for the provider identification. If you place the call from a public phone or a payphone, FCC rules require the provider to orally identify itself before your call is connected and billed. If you don't hear provider information, ask the operator who the provider is and what the rates are. If the provider or rate is not what you wanted, or if you do not hear provider identification and you cannot reach an operator, hang up and dial again. When receiving a collect call, listen for an identification of the service provider when the call is connected. Before accepting the charges, if you do not hear the provider identified, say no to the collect call until you are able to find out who is connecting the call. If it's a provider you're unfamiliar or uncomfortable with, ask for the per minute rates. If you don't get an answer, say no to the call, and if possible, ask the caller to try again. Review your phone bill carefully. If you suspect you're the victim of this scheme, contact the phone company that charged you for the call in question. The company's number should be listed on your phone bill. If you can't resolve the matter directly, you can file a complaint with the FCC. There is no charge for filing a complaint. Filing a complaint. You have multiple options for filing a complaint with the FCC. File a complaint online at https://consumercomplaints.fcc.gov. By phone, 1-888-CALL-FCC. That's 1-888-225-5322. TTY, 1-888-TELL-FCC, which is 1-888-835-5322. ASL, 1-844-432-2275. By mail, please include your name, address, contact information, and as much detail about your complaint as possible to the Federal Communications Commission, Consumer and Governmental Affairs Bureau, Consumer Inquiries and Complaints Division, 45 L Street Northeast, Washington, D.C., 20554. Our last article from the Better Business Bureau discusses near-field communication, or NFC, a feature present on many new phones that makes it possible to tap your phone to pay for purchases or perform other tasks, and how to avoid financial losses due to security breaches when doing so. The latest news, BBB tip. What to know if you're using NFCs, and you probably are. By the Better Business Bureau, December 20th, 2024. If you have a smartphone purchased in the last few years, it almost certainly came with NFC capability. The technology allows users to effortlessly transfer money, share files, and knock out a growing list of other tasks. But that data transfer can create vulnerabilities. BBB has tips on what NFCs can do and how to stay safe when using them. What exactly is NFC? NFC stands for Near Field Communication. It's a data transfer that only works within very short physical range. We're talking inches, not feet. Some forms of this technology require you to tap one device against another or wave them back and forth in close proximity. NFC also stands for National Football Conference and the National Finance Center, a branch of the USDA, but we're not going to talk about those here. Near-field communication capabilities have been around for years, but their use is becoming much more widespread. NFCs are based on RFID, or radio frequency identification, technology, a process that uses radio frequencies to identify objects. Near-field communication is a high-frequency RFID that makes it easy for one device to communicate with another. What does it do? Near-field communication uses a series of protocols to make transactions easier and faster. People use them to make contactless payments, share digital content, connect one device with another, and a list of other tasks that gets longer every day. So how do they work? And NFC relies on proximity, so when users get close to a device that they want to interact with, typically they receive a prompt asking for permission. They follow on-screen prompts from there. It's convenient because it doesn't involve downloading an app or signing up to get started. When you activate some NFC technologies, they enable Bluetooth and use that to make your data transfer. That means you don't have to fumble around with your phone to find Bluetooth settings, choose the device you want to pair, enter a key or code, and so on. Other NFC technologies enable Wi-Fi between two devices so they can talk back and forth. The big benefit here is that Wi-Fi Direct has much greater bandwidth, so big files transfer faster. What smartphones come with NFCs? New handheld devices become available all the time, so the compatible device list is constantly changing. NFC World maintains an exhaustive list of phones and tablets both available now and coming soon. But for most people, their mobile is already capable. Android devices running 4.0 or later come with the ability to use NFCs for financial transactions. Phones with Android 4.4 or later allow users to exchange files and messages via NFC. iPhone was a little later to jump on the bandwagon. However, if you have an iPhone 6 or later, it supports near-field communications. Are they just for financial transactions? The possibilities and uses for near-field communications are, for the most part, just limited by the imagination. Here are a few things people can do with them already. Open car doors. Share contact information. Share any link you program it to have. Make wireless payments using smartphones and tablets. Connect an automatic Wi-Fi Bluetooth pairing between phone and vehicle for hands-free driving. Pay for and receive access to public parking and transportation. Send photos or video between digital cameras, cell phones, and media players. Allow shoppers to receive and redeem coupons. Prevent hard sleepers from turning off their alarm unless they're actually awake. Enable healthcare workers to monitor medications and track physical symptoms. Create interactive toys and games. Simplified connectivity is great, and being able to exchange funds without having to dig into our wallets was becoming popular even before social distancing was a thing. Now it's even more helpful because it means we don't have to touch cash or transaction terminals. But every time a technology is widely adopted, hackers start focusing on how they can exploit it for unfair gain. Near-field communications and cybersecurity. Convenience is great, but if you're like most people, you might recognize when data is just floating around, there's a security risk, especially when the technology is linked to your credit card or bank account. So how risky is NFC technology? The good thing is that if you're bumping your phone with a friend to share music or checking out with a trusted vendor, the security risk is fairly low because of the proximity requirement. Devices must be 4 centimeters or less apart, and during the split seconds the data transfer actually takes to occur, it would be hard for a hacker to get in there without you noticing. It takes more than just a bump for a transaction to occur. Both sending and receiving devices must be ready to accept the data transfer. It would be difficult for a hacker to brush against you in a crowd and wirelessly withdraw from your bank account. You're not likely to collide with a stranger in the grocery store and accidentally send their phone all your personal information. But that doesn't mean NFCs are without risk. One problem happens when people lose their phones or have their devices stolen. If a thief can unlock your device, or if you don't secure it with a strong password, there's nothing to stop him or her from waving it over a payment terminal or ATM to get your money. NFC tags are also vulnerable to tampering. For example, users have tapped smart tags, thinking that they were about to access movie trailers or visit a vendor website, but instead had their personal information sent to a bad actor. Some general NFC security tips. Turn off NFC when not in use. Disable NFC on your device when you're not using it to reduce the risk of unauthorized access or accidental connections. Be mindful of proximity. NFC only works within a short range, typically 4 centimeters or less. But attackers could use specialized tools to attempt to intercept data. Be cautious when using NFC for crowded or untrusted areas. Use security apps and devices. Only use trusted apps for NFC payments or file sharing. Ensure your device has updated security features and firmware. Enable device authentication. Use a PIN, pattern, or a biometric lock on your device to prevent unauthorized use of NFC. Monitor permissions. Regularly check the permissions granted to apps that use NFC to ensure that they only have access to necessary features. Avoid connecting to unknown devices. Don't pair with or transfer files to unknown NFC-enabled devices or tags without verifying their source. Encrypt sensitive data. If you're using NFC for payments or sharing sensitive information, ensure the data is encrypted and transmitted over a secure channel. NFC payment tips. Verify payment apps. Use payment apps from trusted providers and download them only from official app stores. Check the terminal. Inspect payment terminals for tampering or unusual devices before tapping your phone or card. Enable notifications. Set up notifications for NFC transactions you're immediately aware of for unauthorized charges. Use one-time tokens. Where possible, opt for payments that generate only one-time use tokens for added security. And NFC tags tips. Inspect before scanning. Avoid scanning unknown or suspicious NFC tags in public areas as they may contain malicious code or links. Use a trusted NFC reader app. Use apps from reputable sources to read NFC tags and review the permissions that these apps require. And program tags securely. If programming NFC tags yourself, ensure they're configured with strong security measures to prevent tampering. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Bob Decker, volunteer reader at SunSounds of Arizona. Thanks for listening. A reminder that if you miss a program, you can get it on demand. You can also take SunSounds with you on our stream, on demand, or on the SunSounds app on your smartphone or home device.